This is a podcast from The Samplecast, Volume 1, Issue 5.
The Samplecast.
Hi there, I'm your host Reuben Cornell, and welcome to The Samplecast podcast. If you haven't already, please check out the Samplecast YouTube show, where you can see all of the products in action. It would really help us out if you could share the podcast and YouTube show, and give us a nice rating on iTunes if you like us. There's lots to fit in this week, including plenty of interviews and a lot more music. So let's get stuck in.
Roundup.
So starting off with this week's roundup, we've actually got five different instruments from Sound Iron. And I don't usually combine lots of things together, but I need to do a bit of a catch-up on Sound Iron, so here we go. The first one is Petroglyph. This is Stone Age percussion. That's axes, bowls, hammers, that sort of things. And the guys at Sound Iron have tapped them and ground them and clickety-clacked them and done all they can to get the most noises from them as possible. They've also thrown some tuned percussion in there and developed it into a fantastic little instrument for the full version of Contact 5. In fact, all of these instruments are running on the full version of Contact 5. The next two are Anti-Drum 1 and 2. These are actually updates to the original Anti-Drum libraries, and they're full of real-world sounds, found sounds, and that sort of thing. There's an arpeggiator on board, loads of effects, and they're really flexible little instruments, these two, with their multi-effects. The next instrument from Sound Iron is one called Tape. As the name suggests, this takes the sounds from destroyed cassette and micro cassette tapes, and these have been mangled by Sound Iron into unique sounds. There's percussives, there's strikes, there's playable multi-samples, and the defining characteristic of these sounds is that they're all dusty and lo-fi, so they're going to give some real crunch and weight to your productions. As an added bonus, there's 19 different percussion kits included, so have a look at that. The last instrument is Steel Tones. It's a tuned percussion design tool, and the original sounds have been taken from an 8-tongue happy drum. It's been played with various mallets, so you've got the original sounds there and also severely processed sounds to create soundscapes, ambiences, pads, and other playable instruments. For more information about any of these, check out soundiron.com. Here's a track that uses Sound Iron Steel Tones. It's called Prisms by Dean Ogden. There's a great plugin out this week from Plugin Boutique. It's called Stereo Savage, and it runs on Windows and Mac as well. Basically, it's a sort of all-in-one stereo separation and generation tool, and you can generate stereo from mono sources or expand a stereo source. And there's three basic programs involved here: Vox, Delay, and Expand. You've got adjustable bass bypass, so you can hold onto that bass locked in the center channel. And the plugin is really great for creating lush, wide vocals in seconds. You can do that for mono vocals or stereo. You can create rotation, auto panning, and modulation. And it's great for adding extra interests, especially to percussion parts or synth parts. Now, nothing this plugin does is anything that you couldn't do yourself with a bit of effects routing and some daisy chaining various effects, but it's great to have it all under the hood. So check out Plugin Boutique for that. Here are a few different examples of Stereo Savage in action. Firstly, the dry signal, and then affected with various settings in Stereo Savage.
Yeah, I see you, you don't see me. Yeah, I see you, you don't see me.
Lastly, you'll forgive me a little bit of self-promotion, I hope. I've provided two features for Sonozine 7 from Sonokinetic, which is a free magazine that's available in PDF from the Sonokinetic website, or you can get it on iOS on the Apple Store. I've done an interview with Johan Soderquist, who's a fantastic composer. Most people might know him from Let the Right One In, but he's done a whole variety of films. A really extensive interview with him, and I've also written a piece on video game music as well. As well as the stuff I've done, there's a fantastic report from NAMM by Marianne Fisher and some updates on forthcoming Sonokinetic instruments too. So have a look at that, sonokinetic.net.
Developer update.
There's one developer update which is worth mentioning this week. There's been an update to Spectrasonic's Omnisphere 2, which has now been updated to 2.2.0. This has a lot of bug fixes in there. There's also some neat little effects tricks which have been missing from the previous versions of Omnisphere. I know loads of you guys use Omnisphere, so make sure you download that and check it out. Completely free update. This is a demo using Omnisphere Colossus Volume 4, which is for Omnisphere 2 and released by The Unfinished. And the demo is called Arabian Dream. Thank you.
Big Review.
Welcome to this week's Big Review, and this week we've got a library from Cinematic Instruments. It's for the full version of Contact 5, and it's called Marble. Now, the main use of this instrument is as a rhythmic bed creator, but you can also use it to create pads, playable instruments, and as a drum machine as well. Let's get into the technical stuff. It's a 16-step sequencer times two. So you've got two different sound sources, two different sequencers, and these can be run together to create sounds. Now, each of these step sequencers has 12 adjustable values for each step, and that includes volume, panning, length, tuning, reversing, transient shaping, filtering, stutter effect, reverb feed, delay feed, and time shift. So that's quite a few different elements that you can pack into those individual steps. What happens after that is the audio from these two step sequences can then be routed into a main effects panel, which has 13 different effects. And these effects can be controlled by the mod wheel, key switches, or by dragging on the interface itself. Perhaps a little bit hard to explain exactly how that works, but if you have a look at the demos on the Cinematic Instruments website, you should get a handle on this quite quickly. In fact, when I was playing with this instrument, I didn't really have to look at the manual at all. I just had a quick look at the videos online and then drove straight into the presets. There are actually 900 presets, so it's quite a lot. And these cover basses, pads, soundscapes, playable rhythms, basically anything for a sort of bed or a starting point for a composition that's in there as a preset already. So the best thing is to load those up, then play about with the controls and see what happens. So who's going to find this library useful? Mostly I would think it would be TV and film composers who need a quick and easy rhythmic bed with an easy ability to shape the sound with the mod wheel. That said, there are a few little extras in there, like the drum kits, which some people might find useful. I can't see any reason why you wouldn't have a Gretsch kit, for example, already, but if you don't, there's one included in this instrument. Let's have a quick listen to Marble in action, and this track's called Eternal Hope by Frank Newman.
Get in touch at thesunpodcast@gmail.com.
So what did I like about Cinematic Instruments Marble? Well, to begin with, the interface is very simple, very easy to use. It's not cluttered, it's not too fancy in terms of graphics, it just does what it needs to and really does it fantastically well. As I say, I didn't really need to open the manual. It's pretty self-explanatory on the interface what most of the buttons and dials do. A lot of care have gone into those presets. I could think of some use for the vast majority of them, and the ones that are a little bit more esoteric with a bit of tweaking became useful instantly as well. I also like that you could go into the instrument and you could change any of the aspects of the step sequencer, any of the elements, and the sound wouldn't glitch out. There were no horrible nasty noises or anything. It was really smooth sailing for the most part. There are some things that I would have liked the instrument to do. I would have liked a bigger sequencer to be able to be opened up, because especially when you're playing with the tuning and you're trying to work out those 12 steps up and 12 steps down the octave, it would have been great to not have to be peering closely at the monitor and kind of fiddling those within the sequencer. So a bigger sequencer perhaps for next time. I'd also like some kind of onboard limiter, as sometimes all the effects that you throw at these rhythms, they really sort of overwhelm the engine, and you've got it peeking out on the contact interface. So a limiter at the end of the effects chain, that would have been great. Of course, you can put that on in your door, but having everything on board would have been super easy. It also would have been good to be able to load my own sounds into the interface, because there's actually only 63 sounds there, which means the instrument comes in at around half a gig, which doesn't seem particularly big for an instrument with this much scope. So it would have been great to put my own sources in there. Perhaps Cinematic Instruments could think about developing an open source version, maybe a more limited version of the instrument, where you can throw your own sounds into there and use those sequencing options to play with them. Overall, I would recommend Cinematic Instruments Marble. Take a look at it at the Cinematic Instruments website and let me know what you think on Twitter and Facebook.
Interview. Hello, my name is Brad Hoyt. I'd like to thank the Samplecast for inviting me on the show to talk about a piece of music I recently completed. The name of the track is called What Begins, What Ends, and was inspired by the events that take place in the first chapter of the book, S, by Doug Dorst and J.J. Abrams. The story begins with a man gaining consciousness in a port city that he doesn't recognize. In fact, he doesn't even recall his own identity. Once he becomes fully aware, he wanders the streets, starting this quest to find out who he is, and this is what the music is about. So, for this recording, I used nothing but virtual instruments. And so what I'll do first is I'll list the virtual instruments that I used, and then I will go back and I'll discuss each one individually. For the violin, I used Verharmonics Bohemian Violin. For the flute and oboe, I used the solo flute and oboe legato patches and orchestral tools Berlin Woodwinds Expansion B. I also added a bass flute at the end with Berlin Woodwinds Expansion C library. For the piano, I used 8 Dio's 1928 Steinway piano. And additional instruments include Spitfire Swarm, or Mandolin Swarm, and the titanium euphone that was performed by Christian Henson. First, I'll talk about the Verharmonic Bohemian Violin. I decided to use the Bohemian violin because I really liked the stylized playing technique exhibited in the samples. There's a subtlety which comes across in the way the violin was played that I really liked, and I think it fit in very well with the arrangement. For the woodwinds on this piece, I used the solo flute, oboe, and bass flute legato patches from Orchestral Tools' Berlin Woodwinds Expansions B and C. The reason why I picked the solo instruments from Expansion B and C is because they sound great right out of the box. They generally require minimal tweaking, and they usually fit the mix pretty well, in my experience. One cool thing about Orchestral Tools that I should mention is that you can add or take away legato to multiple sustain patches within a multi-articulation patch. That just comes in really handy if you want to have multiple sustained legato options at your fingertips without loading multiple legato patches in one instance of contact. The piano I used was 8 Dio's 1928 Steinway piano. The main reason I chose this piano was because it has a kind of a dark, muted tone to a certain degree, not terribly bright, and I wanted something subtle like that for this particular recording. I usually use Ivory 2 pianos and Emotional Piano by Sound Iron, and occasionally I use the 1928 Steinway piano if I want that particular sound, and I think this track required that sound. The last two instruments I use in this recording are by Spitfire Audio. The first one is the Mandolin Swarm, and the second one is called the Titanium Euphone. The Mandolin Swarm sounds very nice, but I think it's important to mention that this instrument is actually an ensemble of mandolins with some charangos and ukuleles. This unique combination of instruments adds a complexity to the sound that you wouldn't normally get from just mandolins. For this recording, I used the small ensemble patch, and I used mostly the close mic with a little bit of tree and outrigger to add some space. The other Spitfire instrument that I used was the Titanium Euphone. It's really hard to explain what this instrument is. It's a one-of-a-kind instrument. I'll go ahead and quote from Spitfire's website. It says, "Gently stroke the finely crafted glass rods and listen in wonder as the movement resonates the tuning rods and in turn the metal and fiberglass amplifying resonators, creating a sound unlike any other." So you may want to go check out their website. It's a very cool instrument. The reason why I picked it for this recording was because it does have a really cool, complex tone. And I wanted to use it to kind of fill in some spaces to complement the mandolins. I also think it blended in really well with the bass flute and the mandolin swarm towards the end of the recording. So there you have it. If you'd like to find out more about me, you can go to www.bradhoyt.com. And I hope you enjoy the track. Thanks for listening.
Compose a demo. Thank you.
Thanks so much to Brad Hoyt for giving us his thoughts on one of his tracks. If you're a composer and would like to have your tracks featured on The Samplecast, please head to thesamplecast.com and get in touch.
Bargain VST.
This is Bargain VST, the place to come for all the week's best bargain samples. And the first is an absolute killer. It's from Black Octopus and developed by Time Van Studios, called Classic Drum Machines 1. Now, I'm sure loads of you have lots of 808 and 909 drum kit samples in your collection, but you've got nothing on this. This is 20 gigabytes. This is 300,000 samples, and it's only $20, which is an insanely cheap price for such a huge amount of samples. Just to give you an idea of the content, Black Octopus say there are 63,000 909 kick samples and nearly 22,000 909 snare samples. You're never going to listen to them all, you're never going to use them all, but they'll be really fun to have in your collection. Now, these vintage drum machine sounds have been run through a variety of outboard analog gear, and they've been labelled and categorised pretty well. There are a few glitches and a few funny little samples in there, but with 300,000 samples, I'll let them off. It's $20, find it at Black Octopus. I want to give a quick mention to Time and Space, who are hosting an Easter cinematic spectacular this coming weekend. There's some great deals from Cine Samples, Sample Phonics, Hybrid 2, Cinematic Strings and more, so check that out at the Time and Space website. My last mention is for Mode Audio, and Niall, the guy behind Mode Audio, has created a free drum rack for Ableton Live, and this has been made with some of his own vinyl sounds, so you can find it on the Mode Audio website, and there's 32 samples there. Send them straight into your Ableton Live sampler, and they're great for dusty and dirty hip-hop and house productions. Check it out.
Golden Oldie.
Here on the show, we're not just about new products, we also take a look at some golden oldies and trawl through the back catalogue of hardware and software and see what it is that really rings your bells. This week is a personal favourite of mine, the Korg M1 synthesizer. It's the first proper synthesizer that I bought, and I've actually still got one stashed away in storage somewhere. You don't need to shell out hundreds of pounds like I did back in the day to get hold of those sounds. The sounds are completely unique. They've been sought after for many years, way after the Korg M1 finished production, because they're the sounds that you hear in a lot of 90s house records. They're coming back around again. Artists such as Justin Bieber are using them again for their kind of tropical house vibes that they've got going on. So it's worth having a look at the sounds. At the moment, the only place to get them legitimately is from Korg themselves, the Korg M1 Legacy plugin, which runs in at about $50. I managed to find a big fan of this plugin in Johnny Ray. So here he is chatting about the Korg M1 and what it means to him.
Hi guys, Johnny Round here. For those of you who don't know, the Korg M1 was a 16-voice, 8-part multi-timbral music workstation manufactured by Korg from 1988 to 1995 and undeniably became the sound of a generation. The M1 contained electric pianos, organs, synth pads, all the way through to drums and, you know, pick basses. And examples of its use range from things like Robin S using the Organ 2 preset in the track Show Me Love, which came to define house music. You've got Madonna use the piano preset in Vogue, all the way through to people like Vangelis, Queen, Aerosmith. I want to say the synth choir in Titanic is the M1 choir patch, but I can't find anything to back that up, but it sounds damn similar. M1 defines so much of popular culture, and the M1 software synthesizer from Korg is an absolute must to add to your software collection. So the M1 synth's complete standalone virtual instrument, but also supports RTAS, audio units, and VST plugin formats, so it will work in pretty much anything. Now, I go back to this plugin time and time again for four reasons. One, it sounds fantastic and just slots into any mix. Two, its fluidity and ease of customizing and tweaking make it a joy to work with. Three, the broad range of sounds are a fantastic jumping off point for like any project, especially something pop or dancey. And four, it is so much fun to be sitting playing with a VST and then realize that the slap bass patch you have loaded was the one used for the Seinfeld theme. So, whether you're either a geek for retro synths, a fanboy of early 90s house, or just want a new professional all-rounder that's been the staple for musicians for past nearly 30 years, I highly recommend picking up the N1 from Korg. It's an absolute belter, and coming in at $49.99, it is an absolute steal.
Thank you there to composer Johnny Round and his take on the Korg N1. That's it for the show this week. For more information, head to thesamplecast.com. Thanks so much for listening, and if you've enjoyed the show, please do share it, like us, give us a rating on iTunes, and do all that social media good stuff. Until next week, bye for now.